Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Yes! Touchdown! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Today, and thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, and we are broadcasting live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios on this Thursday, June the 14th, and we got a good show for you today. Now, look, I'm going to state it right off the top. The majority of this show, we are going to be talking about Jarvis Landry and his latest comments in the media where he takes some shots at the Miami Dolphins, and more specifically, Ryan Tannehill. And I know a lot of you have said to me in the past, why are we still talking about Landry? Let's move on. I don't want to hear about Landry. So if you don't want to hear it, just, I understand, but just click off the show now, because that's going to be the majority of the show. I will open up with about, you know, 4 or 5 tidbits that came out this week from the OTAs and stuff, but the majority of the show is going to be Jarvis Landry talk. So if you don't want to hear it, I respect that, but this probably is not the show for you then. So you've been warned. I don't want to hear you complain. Don't send me a bunch of emails and tweets saying, I don't want to hear about it. Why are you still talking about it? Move on. You've been warned. You know what you're about to listen to. So that's all I can do. Let's first start off with the OTAs that are taking place this week. Not much happening. Not much news has come out from this. So let me just run through a couple things real quick here that caught my eye and I think are worth mentioning. Walt Akins, he spoke with the media this week. And look, his role with Miami is sort of, he's always been a safety, but they have sort of flirted with him at cornerback in times. And we do know his main role is as a special teams player. But Walt Akins, when he spoke with the media, he sort of clarified that a little bit this week. He said he is a safety first and foremost, but he's also an emergency cornerback. So Walt Akins' role isn't going to change this upcoming year. Obviously, he will still continue to be a safety, a backup safety primarily, but he will also be a cornerback as well should there be some injuries and stuff. He can slide out there. Adam Gase, he spoke to the media when the topics of the rookie tight ends and how they're doing, when that came up, because as we talked about on the podcast last show, on Monday, there was some talk and some reports that the Miami Dolphins second round pick, Mike Gesicki, had been struggling some, which I said, don't buy into it. This is OTAs. It's guys in shorts. Nobody is struggling, just like nobody is making a name for themselves. That can't happen when you're wearing shorts in these OTAs. Adam Gase said that the two rookie tight ends are doing well so far, and they are the type of people who, when they make a mistake, they don't make the same mistake twice. And that's something you like to hear. Guys who sort of, look, all rookies, to a certain extent, will struggle in their transition to becoming an NFL player. We understand that as fans. I think most reasonable, level-headed fans understand that. It's just, you don't want to see guys continuously make the same mistakes. You want to see guys, you know, you tell them something once, they learn, they adjust, and they improve. And that's what Adam Gase is saying about the two rookie tight ends. As I've said, since the draft, I think these two guys on the field, I know everyone talks about Minka Fitzpatrick, and he's a great player, and I'm sure he's going to make a huge impact for the Dolphins on defense. I think after him, though, these two tight ends have the potential to make the biggest impact on this Miami Dolphins season just because of opportunity and how they are going to be on the field so much this upcoming year, because Miami is so thin at tight end. And I think these guys, should they, you know, continue to improve, continue to grow as they, you know, go through their first year of OTAs, their first year of mini camp, their first year of training camp, I think come September, hopefully, they're at a place where they can be contributors and significant contributors for this upcoming 2018 season. Because honestly, if they're not, I think we're in trouble at tight end. Because guys like Marquise Gray and AJ Derby, you know, they're marginal NFL players at best. Marginal. And I don't want to see them in significant roles when it comes September. They're guys, if they're your third or if they're your fourth tight end, I can live with that. I'm not in love with it, but I can live with that. But you don't want to see them on the field a lot. And I think guys like Gesicki and Smythe, they have the size you want in your prototypical NFL tight ends. They have the skill set you want in your NFL prototypical tight ends. And you just hope they pick things up quick enough to where we see them on the field early and playing a lot. So that was something that was encouraging to hear from head coach Adam Gase when he spoke with the media this week. Josh Sitton, he missed practice on Tuesday. I'm not reading anything into it. As I've said, again, these OTAs are almost worthless, especially for someone like Sitton, who has been in the league forever. So I'm not going to read anything. It might have also just been a case where they're resting him some, knowing at his age, this doesn't count. We have to keep him fresh and ready for when the games really matter. Hakeem Spence, the new defensive tackle Miami traded for from the Lions. When he spoke to the media, he said a few interesting things. First off, Joe Shad at the Palm Beach Post, he in his article on Spence from this week, he did mention that Spence right now is currently the starter next to Jordan Phillips. Obviously, that doesn't really mean much for a few reasons. A, it's been made perfectly clear, which he talks about here soon, which I'll mention, Spence, that Miami is going to be rotating guys in and out at defensive tackle a lot. So who technically is the starter? Almost insignificant. And also, what else was I going to say? Also, I just think Spence, he's saying that he feels better because he was sort of, you know, struck and sort of shocked when he heard about the number Sue played last year. Now, Sue was on the field for 84% of the snaps on Miami's defense. Spence, I think the exact word he said was, that's ridiculous. And it really is. It just shows how great Sue is and how great he was of a guy to be on the field that much at that position. And so far, all the things we're hearing out of these OTAs and minicamp is Miami's not going to work that way. They're going to work more rotational, keep guys fresh, get guys in and out often. And Spence actually said this week he feels he plays his best when he's playing about 50% of the snaps on defense and not much more than that. So he doesn't even want to be on the field like someone like Sue was for 84%. He feels that would hurt his game. So he's only looking to be on the field about 80, roughly 50% of the times if possible. And he's saying all the right things, Hakeem Spence. But let's see if I have some quotes here. He said he really didn't want to wear number 93 because that was being Sue's number, but it was the only number available, so he took it. So he didn't even want to have Sue's old number, but he's wearing it. And he did go on about how he gave some insight on how new Miami Dolphins defensive line coach Chris Kocurek is sort of wanting the line to play this year and how they want them to attack more. Spence said the defensive tackles next to the end should be the first two guys off the ball, attacking the guards' shoulders, knocking them back. So that way your linebackers can play downhill. Everybody can be downhill. Your ends set the edges, and they are attacking the tackles at the tip of their pads, setting edges. So that way we are gap sound. Defensive tackles playing in the backfield. That's what they want. They should know, and that's what they want. And he goes on and on. But essentially, he's just saying it should be like a hockey line where they're rotating guys in and out often, and they're going to be attacking. So Spence gave a little insight into the new mindset here, the Miami Dolphins defensive line some. Last bit of tidbit before I get to Joe Shad, before we get to the Landry talk, is Joe Shad. And once again, Shad's had some very, very good articles up this week, so everyone go read him at the PalmBeachPost.com. He had a couple. He had one on Spence that I just read some quotes from. That's a very interesting read. And he also had another one up. What was the other one he had? He he's had a few good ones. Oh, he has one up on Isaiah Ford as well. Joe Shad also mentioned, with the news on Wednesday that the United States, Mexico, and Canada got the World Cup in 2026, that 16 cities in the United States have sort of put in bids to host some of the games, and Miami and Hard Rock Stadium is one. And this sort of ties into the story we've talked about a few weeks back on how the Miami Dolphins are looking to either move out of Davie, Florida, with their facility, and move to another part of the state or another part of South Florida. And it sort of ties into this in that if they are one of the 12 of the 16 cities to host games for the 2026 World Cup, he is reporting, Joe Shad, that Miami will either put a ton of money into the facility in Davie, Florida, to expand it and make it larger and make it state-of-the-art, or that will maybe speed up the process a little bit of them moving, because any teams that would be in that Miami area for the World Cup could be training and probably would be training at their facility. So they sort of want to ramp that up and have a state-of-the-art training facility, not only for the Miami Dolphins, obviously, year in and year out, but also for any World Cup teams that might be in South Florida come 2026. So if it's announced soon, I'm not sure when those announcements will be made. Obviously, there's not that much of a rush, as we're about 8 years away from this. That Miami's one of the 12 of the 16 United States cities to get World Cup games. And I think they will, just because A, Hard Rock has recently been renovated. B, Hard Rock has held many soccer games in the past. And look, it's Miami, and I don't know all the 16 teams that are going to be up for bid, who did put in bids to host games, but you would think Miami would make the cut. So that is going to tie into that will tie into what Miami does with their training facility, how quickly they move, and what they might do, whether stay in Davie, Florida, and just invest a ton of money into that, or whether they move. And I've reached out to some people. I know I had on Chris Fisher from NBC6 a few weeks ago when we talked about this with him. It does appear the clubhouse leader sort of favorite thing to do is they're going to move, most likely. But I guess it seems like now there is potential for them to stay in Davie, Florida, where they have been forever, it seems like. Well over 25 years, I believe. So that's that. So now I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, it's going to be all talk on Jarvis Landry. So you've been warned. If you don't want to hear it, I totally understand. But it's going to be all Landry talk right after this quick break.
Simbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get your Miami Dolphins memorabilia. Simbad Sports has the likes of Rashad Jones, Cam Wake, Kiko Alonso, and Frank Gore in for autograph signings within the past year alone. So when in South Florida area, visit Simbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
We're back. Now let's get into this Landry stuff, because honestly, once he was traded to the Browns, I didn't think I'd be talking about Jarvis Landry still in June. I thought this would sort of die down and everyone would have moved on, which, to their credit, I think fans of the Miami Dolphins and I think the Miami Dolphins organization has clearly moved on. And really, Landry has been an afterthought here for many months, but Jarvis Landry seems like he's still very angry and still very, very upset about how things went down. As we said last week in the media, he spoke with a Cleveland reporter in a Cleveland newspaper. He took shots at the Miami Dolphins quarterbacks and, of course, Ryan Tannehill, and said that his quarterback situation in Cleveland is better than anything it has been in Miami, which, whatever, if you want to believe it, you can. It's not true. I don't think it's true, at least, but that's the way he feels. And he took a subtle shot at the Dolphins, and it's like, whatever, grow up. But Landry's not done. And he took another shot at the Miami Dolphins today on the NFL Network. Let's read the quote. Jarvis Landry revealed on Wednesday that he and Ryan Tannehill were actually not close. He says he's not surprised that he has not heard from Ryan Tannehill since he left Miami. We and him talking about the two saying we did not really have a good relationship anyway, so I'm not surprised. Well, here's the thing. And I think a lot of, there's so much to talk about here. But let's start with this. Last week, when Landry spoke to the Cleveland press, one of the things he said in taking his shots at the Miami Dolphins and at Ryan was that in the offseason that Ryan never set up times for them to work. And he's not talking about mini camps, no OTAs. He means on their own personal time. He never set up, you know, times for them to work and put in extra time where, you know, you see with most teams, the quarterback organizes extra working sessions with the receivers at like a high school field or something. They, you know, they find some time to work together and work on things. Well, that's a lie, and I have no problem saying the word lie because there's actual physical hard proof and there's actual physical hard evidence of Ryan Tannehill putting an extra time on their own time with these receivers in the previous years. And Jarvis Landry's in those pictures working with Ryan Tannehill among other Miami wide receivers. You know, there's this thing called the internet, and there's things called social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, where all these players love to snap a ton of pictures and put it out there. And there are pictures out there of these guys working together in the offseason. So when Landry says that, it hurts his credibility because that's an open lie. He's openly lying to the media. He's openly lying to all of us as fans or who read this stuff. That's a lie. The second lie here is when Landry says he and Ryan, they did not have a good relationship and all that stuff. And again, look, I don't know either one of these guys. I cannot speak to what their relationship was. What I can speak to, though, is once again, the pictures. And there's pictures online that are very easy to find where you see Ryan Tannehill and you see Jarvis Landry on their own free personal time, you know, together on a boat laughing and fishing, together hanging out at this restaurant, together hanging out here. So, and these aren't things where they're like forced to hang out together at an event by the team like Finn's weekend or some. No, these are these guys clearly on their own time hanging out together, and there's videos and there's pictures and there's hard evidence. So when look, maybe they had some sort of a falling out after those things were shot. Once again, I wouldn't know that. You wouldn't know that. None of us would know that. That is very possible. So if he's saying they don't have a strong relationship and they had some sort of falling out after all this evidence was shot, understandable. But here's the problem. Landry, because he lied last week about one thing, loses his credibility. So I will call him a liar here on this as well. And it's Landry who's clearly hurt still, clearly upset that he is no longer in Miami. That goes without saying. And there's no way to put a spin on that. It's him, once again, lying to sort of make his argument stronger. Because there's hard proof of him hanging out with Ryan Tannehill, laughing and stuff. So it's tough to believe anything Landry says these days, because his credibility level really is at zero. And there's a few things here. Once again, Jarvis Landry can feel and say pretty much anything he wants. He's entitled, if he's hurt that he's no longer a part of the Miami Dolphins, he's entitled to be hurt. I get that. Where Landry's wrong, though, and where he loses a lot of people, and where he comes off looking like a jerk and someone who's an is that it's called taking the high road. You know, this whole thing that, you know, he has to sort of take shots now at the Miami Dolphins and at Ryan because he's no longer there. You know, I mean, it's just so petty, so childish, so immature, and it just makes him look so bad, Jarvis Landry. It makes him look so, so bad, and he doesn't realize it. I think some of the people around him don't realize it. I think some of his friends, who I'm about to talk about one in a minute, don't realize it. And It just makes him look bad. And as I said on the podcast Monday, and I will say it again because it's 100% true, money does not buy class. Jarvis Landry is a very rich man these days. He has worked very hard to earn that money. I'm not knocking him for making as much money as possible. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you can be a millionaire. You can be worth hundreds of millions of dollars. That doesn't mean you have class. And Jarvis Landry has proven in the past 2 weeks to have zero class. And he might not care. And some people around him, they might not care. And I guess they're entitled to that. But we are also entitled to say Jarvis Landry has no class. And that's something that can't be taught. That's something that cannot be bought. You either have it or you don't. And, you know, he's coming off looking very bad here. Very bad. And again, let me just reemphasize the main point here. This isn't a case of Miami Dolphins fans have to let it go. We have to move on. No. Jarvis Landry keeps bringing up the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins fans, and I interact with a lot of them on the site. You can say what you want about it's just a fan site and all this stuff. Fine. I interact with a lot of fans of the Miami Dolphins across the country, a lot in South Florida, and all around the world. Miami Dolphins fans aren't talking about Jarvis Landry. They're just not. The only time they talk about Jarvis Landry is when Landry talks about the Miami Dolphins, and then the fans obviously will react. And I've also heard this other defense by some people in the media and some fans, which, I'm sorry, is the biggest cop-out and crappy thing you can say, is that Jarvis Landry was just asked a question, and he gave an honest answer. He's just, quote-unquote, keeping it real. Well, you know, he's one of those guys who are just keeping it real. Like, give me a break. If every person, look, being an NFL player is a job. I understand. It's a job in the entertainment industry at the end of the day, and we can get into that a little bit here soon, which I will. And, you know, just because someone asks you a question doesn't mean you have to be brutally honest to I don't want to say hurt somebody else, but say things not in a glowing light about someone else. Look, we all have jobs. We all work with people we might not like. We all work with people who might be hard to get along with. And I get it. Everyone does in their own little worlds, well, whatever they do for a living. When asked about those people, whether by your boss or whoever, you know, you usually, most people don't, you know, go on some rant and like throw somebody right under the bus and go, I'm just being honest. I'm just keeping it real. You know, that's a cop-out answer. Like I said, this goes back to class. This goes back to class, and it goes back to being a professional. And if you are a professional in any field you work in, I don't care what field you work in, whether you're an accountant, whether you work in construction, whether you are a secretary, or whether you're an athlete, you know, it's called being a professional in your field. And just because you're asked something doesn't mean you have to say something to put someone in a bad light or make someone look worse than they are. If he wanted to say, like last week when he was talking about the Browns quarterbacks, if he wanted to say, I like what we have happening here in Cleveland, I think we're going to be good with Tyrod Taylor and Mayfield, but he could have just said positive things about them and not even mentioned Miami or try to make a comparison. But because Landry's still upset for some reason about how things ended in Miami, he is going to, yes, I will talk about our thing here in Cleveland, but let me just throw in a jab here at the Dolphins as well. And it just makes zero sense on all levels. Today, he was asked about if he heard from Ryan Tannehill. He could have, you know, said in a way, he goes, no, I haven't. I'm sure he's been really busy with his knee rehab. You know, I'm tied up here with my things with the Browns. We really haven't had a chance to talk lately or something, you know. And that seems, and then you move on, and this is a non-story, and everyone goes their separate ways. Instead, Ryan has to be like, no, I didn't even like him anyways. We had a terrible relationship. He made it something it didn't need to be. And if you're going to use a defense, he's just keeping it real, then that's just a load of crap. Because if we're going to keep it real and we want to compare the character of people like Ryan Tannehill next to the character of someone like Jarvis Landry, then let's just talk about these two people. Since we're keeping it real, one of these two has been married for a few years. He has a small little family he started with a few kids. And one of the other ones was investigated last year for 9 months for domestic violence. Now, if I said that and saying, so who are you going to believe between these two and who has more credibility and who has better character, you would say, well, why'd you have to bring that up? He was clear to those charges of domestic violence. Why do you have to bring this into it? Well, I'm just keeping it real. See, when you head down that road and you head down that avenue of he's just keeping it real, then you open up a can of worms where everything then comes into play. And so you got to be careful. And if that's the defense, Landry, his fans, and some people in the media who support him, if that's what they're going to take as a defense for him answering a question so honestly and so openly and taking a shot at Miami, well, that works both ways. And then when we talk about Landry, we can then talk about all the negative things in his closet, all the skeletons in his closet, and it's like, it doesn't need to happen. That's why it's called having class, taking a high road, being above the fray, but when you start the fray, you start the fray. And another thing, is back in February, when Landry was trying to work out a long-term deal with the Dolphins, and they were going back and forth on numbers, and they couldn't work things out, there was, in the Miami Herald, and if you go back and read it now, it's actually quite comical, because the Miami Dolphins, when they're trying to get Landry's number down on a deal, because they don't want to pay him as much as he ended up receiving from the Browns, you know, they leaked some stuff to the Miami Herald. Clearly they did, which made Landry look not so great. Now, whether that stuff was true or not, at the time we didn't know, but I think in hindsight, now in June, all these months later, clearly it was true. Because the things they said was Landry's not a good leader, there's some issues behind the scenes that people don't know about, there's some issues of, you know, him acting certain ways off the field that raise some red flags and concerns, and this and stuff, and there's some immaturity there. And of course, Landry's agent with Landry, you know, within 24 hours, lashed out, they flipped out, they went nuts, they went right to the Miami Herald to give their side of the case, saying that's crap, that's not true, blah, blah, blah. Well, in hindsight, you know what? It probably was true. Because everything the Miami Dolphins said about Jarvis Landry and why they had reservations about paying him all that money and about paying him so much money, you know, Jarvis Landry, the past 2 weeks, has proven the Miami Dolphins correct. And he's proven them right with his immature behavior, with his words and shots at the Dolphins now that he's gone. Everything Miami said and all the attacks that he's immature, that he's not a leader, that there's things off the field that we don't like, that has breath, it's all true. It's clearly all true because we see it now on social media and what Landry has said on the NFL Network and stuff. So it's all 100% true. And look, Landry, this is not knocking him as a player. He's a great player on the field. I'm not knocking him as a player. It's not sour grapes that he's gone. But you have to understand that there's clearly some issues there, which you cannot blame a team for having reservations for paying him so much. If you're going to invest, because what did Landry get? $75 million and what? $40 million guaranteed, something like that. Off the top of my head, I can't remember. If you're going to invest that much money into a player, you better hope and pray that player has his head on straight and he's on board with what the team is doing. And because if not, you're going to have a mess. Now, another thing, and look, let's get into this next part, which I even hate talking about it, but I feel the need. It needs to be spoken about here. Because for those of you who are on social media, and for those of you who do follow all the Miami Dolphins reporters, and there's so many great reporters, and honestly, I think they're all great. I think each and every one of them is great in their own way. You got Joe Shad from the Palm Beach Post, Jason Leisure from the Palm Beach Post, Armando Salguero from the Miami Herald, Adam Beasley, who am I missing? Barry Jackson. Then you got the guys at the Sun Sentinel, like Omar and Hyde and Chris Perkins. I think they all do great work in their own way, and it's a wide, diverse, varying of opinions, which for us as the consumers, what you want. You don't want to read everyone saying the same thing, because it's just, that's just not good. So we do get a wide variety of opinions with the three main newspapers who cover the team in South Florida. Let me say that. And let me also say, we're going to talk here about Omar Kelly for a bit. And I'm not one of these guys who knocks Omar. I think Omar, for the most part, does very good work for the Sun Sentinel. He does very good work. I don't agree with everything he says. I don't agree with sometimes how he interacts with people on social media. But I do understand, and I think some fans sort of have to take a step back and understand, Omar's playing the role of bad guy wrestler. Omar Kelly, I'm sure if you have met him in person, is a good guy with a very good heart. But when he gets on social media and he interacts with fans to sort of drum up interest in his work and to sort of get eyeballs on his work, he plays the role of bad guy wrestler. And a lot of you fans on social media who follow him and interact with him, you fall for the trap every time. And I try, and I learned this with him, or have seen this with him for many years now, and I don't get involved in the trap. I don't fall for the trap. He says things in a certain way, clearly to work up the fans of the Miami Dolphins, and then it brings more attention to him and his work, is what he wants, because he's in the business now. Because look, newspapers, it's not like the old days where it comes to your house every day. It's online. He's in the business for clicks. And I'm not knocking that. That's just the way the newspaper business has gone. It's gone virtual. It's online. It's clicks and it's videos and click, click, click. It's not like the old days where you're actually selling our newspaper. So I get it, why he does it. And I'm not knocking him as a journalist. I think he does very good work. He clearly puts in his time and he does his research. With that said, I think Omar Kelly's off his freaking rocker with some of this stuff he tweets out. I really do. And we're going to jump into some of this now. I really think he's off his rocker. And if you read Omar, one of the things that really stands out over the past few years, but specifically over the past few weeks, is like, I don't know if he's angling for a job with the NFL PA, because he comes off like a lawyer for all these players who's like passing out advice and telling them what to do and all this stuff. And it really, I mean, some of this stuff is head-scratching to say the least. He put out a tweet because former NFL general manager Bill Polian was on ESPN or satellite radio this week. I forget which one. But he said a quote that NFL players should be honoring their contracts and they shouldn't be looking to renegotiate, you know, 1 or 2 years in if you signed a 3-year deal. It's like, honor your contract, renegotiate at the end. And Omar, and he said something along these lines many times in the past. This is just the latest one. Here's the tweet. It's ironic that former NFL GM Bill Polian wants players to honor their contract without pointing out teams regularly, which he put in all caps, fail to honor the contracts they sign. Far more players are waived and shaken down for pay reductions each year in the NFL compared to those holding out for new deals. Which, to me, this is a silly statement, and here's why. If you don't like the way the NFL is set up, and this goes for all sports, not even the NFL. If you're on a professional sports team, whether it's NBA, NFL, hockey, baseball, I don't care what the team is, what the sport is, you know there's only so many spots on a roster. And a team will draft you, or they will sign you, and they want you to be part of that team. But, you know, if you're not performing up to snuff, you might get cut or released. And it's a tough way to live, I totally understand. But you know what? Nobody put a gun to the head of any athlete and said, you have to be a professional sports player. When you enter a draft and you enter the world of professional sports, if you don't like the system, if you don't like the way things are run, if you think it's unfair to the athlete, don't play. Get another skill, learn another, you know, and go find another job. It's not a God right to be a professional athlete. Just because you're great at something doesn't mean you must work in that field. And that goes for any job in any walk of life. I had a skill at a job, which I was very good at. But I hated the line of work. It put me to sleep every day. It made me miserable in my life. So what did I do? I learned another skill. And now I have a new job and a new career that I do full-time every day. And it's not this, folks. It's my real job. This is a hobby, I admit. It's my real job. So it's like the same thing works for athletes. If you think it's unfair that teams, you know, waive players and release players and cut players, you know, you signed up for this life. You know what I mean? It's like signing up for the army, and then when you're sent off to war, being like, whoa, this ain't fair. This is what you signed up for. You knew this was a possibility. You knew it could happen. You hope it didn't, but it could. Just like a professional athlete, you get picked by a team or you sign with a team. You know it's a possibility. You might get traded. You might get cut. You might get waived. So if you don't like that, then don't be a professional athlete. And this whole notion that he often spews, Omar, is that professional athletes have it so hard and it's so rough and it's not fair. And all these leagues and all these people, they treat the athletes unfairly. Give me a break. The professional athletes I compare to entertainers, you know, musicians, actors, and they get paid and they get compensated fairly well. And it's not because you get paid more, so that means you can be treated worse. It just means when you get paid more, you know, there are some side effects to that where things might not always be great. Your public life's often open to everybody, or I should say your private life is often open up to the whole public. One of the things you have to deal with if you want to make the big bucks and be a professional athlete, I'm sorry, it's not fair, it sucks, it's just the world we live in and you have to deal with it. If you don't want your private life open to everybody in the world, you know, don't take a job where you're in the spotlight. It's not that tough. And if you don't want to be in a job where, you know, one day you might get cut or waived or you might get released or traded, you know, don't be a professional athlete. You know, it's just that simple. No one was put on this earth saying they must be a professional athlete. So that one I disagree with. Here's another quote. He said, if there's one universal thing I've learned about the NFL in this decade I've covered the league, it is the NFL is a business, not a sport. Players need to act accordingly. And how does this tie into Landry? It ties into Landry as Landry learned that the NFL is a business, not a sport. He got his money. He got his money in Cleveland. Money he worked very hard for. Money he's earned. Money that is well deserved. Nobody's knocking Jarvis Landry for getting every dime he could out of an NFL team. So, once again, that I understand. And it's like, how this ties into Landry. Omar said, here's another thing. Omar said Landry was slandered by the Miami Dolphins. How was Jarvis Landry? Yes. Did the Miami Dolphins leak some things out about Landry to sort of help in their negotiations to lower his number, to maybe work out a long-term deal with them? Slander's strong word. They just put out some information of some things they were worried about. Once again, they probably shouldn't have done it, but they did. But if I'm Jarvis Landry, you know, once again, take the high road. Really, take the high road. Get over it as well. You know, you're a public player. You're in the spotlight. If you're still harping on something that took place in February, I don't know. I don't know what to say. What was another Omar quote? Honestly, this stuff is beneath Ryan Tannehill, and Miami Dolphins fans need to learn to ignore it and stop getting their undergarments in a bunch. Jarvis is an ex. Leave your exes in the past. Again, Omar, you're not getting it. Miami fans aren't talking about Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry is the one who keeps talking about the Miami Dolphins. And his fans, they're going to respond, okay? Fans are going to respond. It's not like Miami Dolphins fans are going online every day saying, what did Jarvis Landry do yesterday? No, Jarvis Landry's going on the NFL Network. Jarvis Landry's going to a Cleveland newspaper openly taking shots at the Miami Dolphins. So stop trying to spin this as it's the fault of the fans. Once again, this is where Omar, who's a smart guy, is playing the role of bad guy wrestler. And in that role, he's going to say, I know the truth that Landry's really starting this, but I'm going to turn this around on the fans because I know it's going to get the fans worked up. Give me a break. Give me a break. And then Omar says, this is Landry's revenge. Revenge for what? What revenge does Jarvis Landry need? The millions of dollars he makes now? For a large part, because when he was in Miami, he had the opportunity to showcase his skills and become a star player. So he needs revenge. What's this revenge? He sounds like a heartbroken little girl who is just mentally soft. Oh, this is Omar. I mean, this is Landry's revenge. I have no idea what Omar Kelly's talking about. I literally have no idea what he is talking about. Jarvis Landry's an adult. He's a grown man. And he plays a professional sport where he's making now a boatload of money, which again is well-earned and well-deserved. This revenge on who? That he was traded by the Dolphins when he told the Dolphins, if you aren't going to pay me, trade me to somebody who will pay me. And the Miami Dolphins then told him and his agent, you talk to any team you want, work out a contract, work out a trade, and we will do our best to accommodate it. Which Jarvis Landry and his agent did, and the Miami Dolphins accommodated it. The Miami Dolphins gave Jarvis Landry literally everything he wanted on a silver platter. Jarvis Landry wanted a huge payday. Even though they didn't pay him that, they found a team who would. Landry and his agent found a team who would, and then Miami accommodated Landry by sending him to said team. I don't get this. Jarvis Landry, this is Landry's revenge. Revenge on who for what? I mean, that is first off, revenge is a strong word, and it comes off almost psychotic. Like, I'm mad, I'm getting revenge on you, I'm going to say nasty things, I'm going to make you look bad. It's like, grow up. Seriously, grow up. And the next quote, or the next thing Omar tweeted was, Omar says Landry has the right to be angry. Why? Why did the guy sign a $75 million contract? If you can't be happy in life with that, I don't know what the hell will make you happy. I mean, why does he have a right to be angry? And be angry at who for what? That the Miami... Okay, look. Yes, the Miami Dolphins leaked a few things to the media to try and lower his number and maybe to try and make him look like a bit of a head case so other teams wouldn't pay him, which would lower his value, making it easier for Miami to sign him. I get that. It happened. But if you're Jarvis Landry, you got the money! Like, it didn't work. Whatever Miami did, it didn't work. Because A, you're not in Miami anymore. And B, you got the big payday you wanted. So it didn't work. I don't understand this. He has a right to be angry. This is his revenge. I literally have no idea what Omar Kelly is talking about with some of these tweets. I have no idea. Nobody's holding Jarvis Landry down. Nobody's holding Jarvis Landry back. Jarvis Landry has gotten everything in life that he's wanted in the past year. He wanted the big contract. He got it. He wanted to be respected. Well, he wasn't respected in Miami, so he says. He was then sent to a place who paid him and clearly is showing him respect because you don't invest that type of money in someone you don't like or respect. So, once again, it's right to be angry. This is Landry's revenge. It's like, but, of course, those things you can say about Landry, but then let's turn it around on the fans of Dolphins. Move on. Why are you still talking about him? Leave him, like in the past. Give me a break. I mean, seriously, some of this stuff, like I said, I like Omar. It's like, you cannot take this seriously. This is utter garbage right here. The stuff I'm reading is utter garbage on any level, any way you shake down. Now, you can be friends with Landry, maybe, and you can take his side in this, but, try to be honest about things. Try to be fair in what you put out there in the world of social media, because this right here makes no sense. What Landry says makes little sense, but, this is even worse, because this is coming from a journalist, and I don't get it. I don't get it. Now, look, if Jarvis Landry is the type of guy who needs to create extra motivation for himself to get himself amped up to play. Maybe he's created a false reality in his head where everyone's against him and he was treated so badly in Miami where everyone's out to get him and he's going to put that chip squarely on his shoulder and he's going to have it there forever for his whole time in Cleveland. And that's that. And that's what he's going to use to, you know, pump himself up to have a great 2018 season. If that's what it takes, then Jarvis Landry ain't as great as we all thought. Jarvis Landry should be able to self-motivate without causing drama and all that and all this other nonsense. To me, in my opinion, Landry, he comes off looking so badly. And someone like Omar Kelly here, just, I don't understand a damn thing he's talking about on social media. I think any reasonable, level-headed fan is confused by some of the things that he's putting out there, Omar. Jarvis Landry has not been treated unfairly. Jarvis Landry is one of the highest-paid wide receivers in the league. And if he can't, you know, here's the thing. If Landry feels he was hurt by the Dolphins for how things ended and for what they said about him in the media back in February, you know, that works both ways at well. Because I'm sure the Miami Dolphins were not happy week 17 last year when Jarvis Landry's out there getting ejected out of the game against the Bills, acting like a fool on the field, like a crazy wild man who couldn't be controlled. So being hurt works both ways. You know, Jarvis Landry can act like a jerk. Jarvis Landry can put himself in a situation where he's, you know, accused of domestic violence, which then becomes a cloud that hangs over the team for 9 months. And while he's being investigated by the league and by the South Florida police, you know, Landry can act like a jerk anytime he wants. If he can bring, you know, all this extra baggage to the Miami Dolphins, you know, in season. But God forbid the Miami Dolphins say one thing about him in February, you know, to a newspaper. Well, then, you know, that just erases everything that he's ever done, Landry. It makes no sense. It makes my head explode. I'm hopeful I never have to talk about this again. Hopefully Jarvis Landry shuts the hell up and never talks about the Miami Dolphins again, because Jarvis Landry has to realize, and I'm not one of these people as well who think the Cleveland Browns are, you know, some god-awful team. I think this year, at least, they're probably going to win six games, and they're going to be in that mix, and they're slowly improving. I actually think they're building a nice little team there. I actually think on defense, they're probably, you know, one of the better teams in the league on that side of the ball, at least, and I think they're slowly improving, and they are building it the right way. With that said, until they start to win games, Cleveland is NFL Siberia. And maybe Landry has went through a few OTA sessions now with guys like Tyrod Taylor, who now he's starting to realize the reason he was run out of Buffalo is because he can't throw the ball to a damn receiver, and he checks down to tight ends and running backs every time. Maybe he's starting to realize that Mayfield is going to be a work in progress, who might not be ready this year or maybe even next. And maybe he's just upset that his situation in Cleveland isn't as rosy as he first thought when he was traded there in April. So there's that as well. I don't know. But Jarvis Landry really needs to grow up. He really needs to grow up. And the people around him need to help him grow up. And I think some people in the media, such as Omar Kelly, need to stop bending over backwards, making excuses for why Jarvis Landry can act a fool and act this way. Because Jarvis Landry is openly lying in the media, and he's making a false reality, and there's no way to defend this. I'm sorry. There's just not. If there was, I'd say it. And I come on this podcast, I do, you know, every day in season, a few times a week outside of the season. And if you want to listen to the archives, my history speaks for itself. When the Miami Dolphins, they do something wrong or bad, I say it. And when they do something right, I say it. I am equal opportunity. And when this instance, the Miami Dolphins have done nothing wrong. I'm sorry. I would be the first one to say if they did, but Jarvis Landry comes off as a bitter, angry, uneducated liar. And if you think that's harsh, you don't like it, I'm sorry if that offends you, but that's just the way I feel. And with the offseason, with this stuff here from Landry, and with the Jay Ajayi incident after the Super Bowl, where he's now being charged with trashing that mansion in Los Angeles, where he rented the house and him and his friends, you know, trashed a place for a week and then physically assaulted the owner of the home who rented it to him. That's now in court with what he's got happening off the field and with what Landry's now saying in the press, and, you know, being a drama queen, getting in the middle of all this stuff. You know, you got Landry here. He's stirring more pots than Martha Stewart at the end of the day. Stirring more pots than Martha Stewart because he's just getting involved in all this mess. You see what Adam Gase saw and why he probably had no issues with either guy leaving Miami. Clearly had no issues with either guy leaving Miami because they're both a little immature. And while they're great players on the field, nobody's going to take that away from them. They are very good players on the field. And in Landry's case, you can say he's great. They're just not good locker room guys, and they're very immature, clearly. So that's all. Like I said, hopefully we never have to talk about Jarvis Landry again. But I'm sure in a week or two he will run his mouth again and take another shot at the Dolphins. But and if he does, we'll be here to talk about it because that's what we do. So I would like to thank everyone once again for listening. We will probably have another show out this weekend, or unless something breaks. Obviously, when something breaks news-wise, we always do a new show immediately. But unless something breaks, which I don't expect to happen, because now that the OTAs are pretty much over, there's not going to be much happening in the world of the Miami Dolphins. There's not going to be much news to talk about. So, but we might have another show this weekend, and I am working on some people have on a show as a guest to interview. So possibly this weekend I might have something there. But I would like to thank everyone once again for listening. Everyone have a great day, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.